You have your Bibles, turn with me please to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are many texts that I could have chosen to express our own appreciation for Fellowship Bible Church. Ruby and I were thinking about how long we have been here, and it's 28 years this month. The oldest representatives are still here with us, followed by the next, and followed by others and others. We're trying to think of the order, but that's not important. What is important is God and his faithfulness over these 35 years. But I think the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 4 that I read kind of sum up our feelings. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you. It's only by God's grace that any of us are here today. This church has morphed, it's changed. It's in our membership class, I make a point to say that our church is an organism, not an organization. An organism is living and changing and growing, and doesn't remain the same. And we not remain the same in the 35 years. God has a place for us now in his kingdom and a purpose and the people that he wants. We have had more people, and many of those people, as someone testified, were trained here and have gone out to other places, even to other churches. And we give thanks to God for that, because that is often our role, to train others, to send them out. And so I want to read John Burt's testimony, because he kind of mentions that. He says, since the beginning, the FBC family has helped shape the early life of my wife, ministered to both of our college and career years, encouraged us throughout our marriage, and now continues to fulfill its commitment to training my children to grow to love and honor their Savior. I have personally gone from a lukewarm Christian content with sitting on the back row Sunday to a teacher, a husband, parent, and missionary, kind of. Through FBC, God continues to teach me about who He is and how I can become a better disciple daily. My family is grateful for the leadership who see the urgency of preparing and equipping us for taking the gospel down the street or around the world, exemplifying the unofficial motto over the sanctuary doors, "You are now entering the mission field." Thank you, John. Then I'll read from the oldest members, the ones who have been here the longest, Donald and Jenny Dickens. My, oh my, must be what changes you have seen in these 35 years. What a blessing and a privilege to have been at FBC from its beginning and to still be able to call this our church home. We have been able to see how God has been with this church body for 35 years and has protected it and kept it going through many trials, twists, and turns. Never, however, have the Word of God and the Gospel been second place at FBC. They have always been proclaimed and protected by the leadership. FBC has provided ample opportunities throughout its years for its people to be involved in a variety of ministries. Being blessed to be a small part of some of those ministries and having our family be involved has been critical to our spiritual growth and that of our children and grandchildren. It's been surprising at times to see just what directions the Lord has taken some of these ministries, places we would not have imagined. God has also used FBC as a training and sending church for people now in many different ministries around the world. Though current times seem dark and challenging, we have great hope for what God is doing and is going to do. We pray we will never be afraid to keep the gospel of Christ as the main reason for this church's existence. We hope we will never be fearful to proclaim it. We are blessed to call FBC our church home, and its people our extended family. And I have one more that I want to share at the end. So, we gather today to remember 35 years of God's faithfulness, and sometimes celebrations occur on a quieter note with little or no fanfare, and that's what we have today, a little or no fanfare. We usually have a big celebration. We have a meal afterwards, and We're not going to enjoy that this year, but perhaps by the grace of God next year we will. From our earliest beginnings in 1986 in the community building over here at Falcon Park to the famous tobacco barn in the Needmore community that Jeff is familiar with, and Donald and the McClamrocks, to meeting in the Fuquay Varina Elementary School, and now here at our current location in 2021, God has been faithful. But what does that mean for us to affirm God's faithfulness? Well, in the Bible, God's faithfulness gets a lot of attention. When God showed himself to Moses and passed by near him, he declared this about himself: the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. That's from Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And that phrase, steadfast love and faithfulness, occurs 14 times in the Old Testament. So God's faithfulness is closely connected with His covenant love, His loyalty to His commitments. God's faithfulness cannot be separated from His nature. God's faithfulness is God's perfect loyalty and consistency in being true to His name, His word, and His character. In other words, God can't be anything else than true to Himself. Even when we are not faithful, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:13, God remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Here's some other scriptures on God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-24, which we've read. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. How can we hope in Him? It's because of His faithfulness. If He was not the same yesterday, today, and forever, if He just was willy-nilly and changed, we would not be able to put our hope in Him, but He remains faithful. Some translations of verse 22 read, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. In other words, God doesn't terminate us or put an end to us because there's no end to His loyalty to Himself. His loyal love never ceases and protects us from His holiness. His faithfulness to Himself is great. And that word means abundant. We could say it's huge how faithful God is. Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 9 is one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. And I think that's one that we really can relate to. Moses says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession. That's how I look at you folks. You are a people of God's treasured possession. You're God's treasure. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, just think about it. Out of all the people in Fuquay Varina and this area, God has chosen you. God hasn't chosen everybody, folks, but He's chosen you. You to be a part of His special people. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. What has God redeemed you from? It's not because you were anything special, but because He is special. And He made you special. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. And you say, well, I haven't loved God perfectly. I haven't kept His commandments. No, we have not. But there was one perfect one who did. That was our Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all the law, all of God's requirements. And his perfect obedience was fulfilled for us and bought for us. And he was the only perfectly faithful one. Why did God choose you or me? Because he loved you. Why does he love us? Well, when you get to heaven, you have to ask him that. Because his answer was, I loved you because I loved you. In other words, that's the kind of God he is. The God who loves the unlovely. The God who loves people who by nature don't love him. The God who loves people who by nature hate him. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that's what we're doing today. We are boasting on the Lord. We are bragging on God. Deuteronomy 32:4, in proclaiming the name or the character or attributes of the Lord and acknowledging the greatness of God, Moses sang this. He sang, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. In other words, God is a reliable God who is never unjust and he never does anything wrong. Nehemiah knew this. In his prayer to God, he reviewed God's dealings with Israel over the years, and he said, yet you have been righteous in all that has come upon us, for you have dealt faithfully, and we have acted wickedly. And is that not so true with us? That God remains faithful even when we sin. God remains faithful and reliable. And God's faithfulness is best seen in his keeping his word, his promises. And there's abundant testimony to that in the Bible. Let me just read you a couple. One from Joshua 23:14, where Joshua's old. He's about to die. And he says, and now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. Let's everybody say, not one word. Say it again. Not one word. Not one word of all that God has promised you has gone unfulfilled or will go unfulfilled. Solomon affirmed the same thing in 1 Kings 8:56. He said, blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise which he spoke by Moses his servant. In the New Testament, Romans 4:21 tells us that Abraham was fully convinced, notice, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Are you fully convinced of that? In Abraham's case, God had promised him and Sarah that they would have a son, even after Sarah was past childbearing earth. And I'm saying way past childbearing earth. Sarah was 90 years old when she had Isaac. 90 years old. That's what faith is all about. Believing and trusting God's promises even for what looks impossible. Hebrews 11 tells us Sarah's story. Verses 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, because Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100. From him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Now, I think we can excuse or we can at least relate to Sarah when at age 89 she was told she was going to have a baby. And what did she do in her tent? She laughed. I could just see her snickering right now. I want to have a baby. I'm 89 years old. And God says, what are you laughing about? He might have said, what you laughing about? It's going to happen. He promised it. Do you believe that God is able to do what he promised for you? I mean, do you really believe? Are you fully convinced, like Abraham, fully convinced? Or is it just up here a little bit in the forefront of your brain? Yeah, I acknowledge that. Yeah, God's faithful. Yeah, he's going to do what he says. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. That's what the preacher says I'm supposed to believe. Yeah. But are you fully convinced? When you walk through those difficult times, that when God promises he will be with you, never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Are you fully convinced? When you don't see the money in the checkbook to pay your bills, that God's going to provide for you. Are you fully convinced that maybe when your health takes a downturn, that God might see you through that? He will see you through. And are you fully convinced that even if he doesn't heal you, that he has a better plan for you? Because that's what he promised. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 are some of the good things that God promises to us new covenant people. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Do what? If you look at verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That is, make you completely whole. Make you completely holy. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He's going to do that. He's going to take the fragments of our lives and make them whole again. You hear a lot of people talking about being broken. And I don't discount that language at all. That's good language. But the promise is God's going to take all the broken pieces and make us whole again. Make your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That reminds me of Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ. He will, folks. You might not be able to see it. You might not feel it, but He's working on you and He's working in this church to perfect it, to make it complete. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He will. You think you're being attacked by Satan? You think that some of the things that come against you are too difficult for you? Well, they are for you, but they're not difficult, too difficult for the Lord. He's faithful. And He's going to protect you and guard you against the evil one. And we get back to the text that I read in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a fellowship, folks. This is a fellowship. We live in a fellowship. We participate in the fellowship of His Son. We are the fellowship, like the Lord of the Rings, the fellowship of the ring. Well, we're the fellowship of the Son. We're not a country club. This is a fellowship where we share jointly. We share communion together. Community together. We don't put our hands out and stop people from coming in. We have our arms open to welcome people to come to Christ. And in that context, part of God's faithfulness will be to confirm or strengthen believers to the end. Did you notice that when I read it? To the end. He will sustain you to the end, guiltless. You're going to make it, folks. You are going to make it. Now, some of you younger folks, you've got trials ahead of you, and I'm just telling you right now, yeah, you better prepare for warfare. Y'all better prepare for warfare. You've got years ahead of you. But if you truly follow Christ, you will find this to be true. He will sustain you to the end. If you trust Him. And that's all He's asking, that you trust Him. That you believe Him. 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of the first scriptures I ever memorized as a new convert to Christ. And you all ought to memorize it. You need to put this in your bank of verses that you know by heart. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And if you look at that context, we don't have time to do it, but if you look at that context, 1 Corinthians 10:13, you will see how God uses Old Testament scripture to teach us and warn us about the pitfalls and temptations of life that we need to be aware of. And just as God was faithful to get Israel through the wilderness, so God is faithful and will be faithful to give us an escape from the things in this world that tempt us. or try our faith. And finally, Hebrews 6:13 to 18 links our hope as Christians with the promises of God and tells us, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become our high priest to represent us before God. Those two unchangeable things with God are his character and his oath, his word, his promise. God cannot lie. And because of this, we who have fled for refuge in Jesus can hold fast to the hope set before us. And this is our sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. And nothing need shake us away from remaining faithful to God ourselves. And that leads me to speak about our faithfulness to God. I've spent the majority of the time on God's faithfulness to us. Now, let's talk about our faithfulness to God. What does he expect? And that leads me to just say, keep on doing what you've been doing. Did you hear these testimonies? Did you hear what the people have been saying that has ministered to them? You need to keep on doing this. Keep on loving one another in good times and tough times. Keep on being a judgment-free church in the way Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. Judgments can always wait until the logs in our own eyes are removed. Never lose the love we have for each other, nor the love we have for our Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want to read the final testimony. The person asked that I read the testimony first and then say the name, though the person suspects you'll know who it is. Not long ago, during and shortly after my restoration process from living in sin, I started helping out with a ministry that began with a goal to reach out and show Jesus to our community. The people spearheading this ministry were people I've always looked up to. They are people that love Jesus, like really love Jesus, not just by words, but by actions. And there are people who have always loved me. Growing up in a Christian home, I knew all the things, all the stories, all the do's, all the don'ts. But at some point, there was a disconnect. There was a relationship lacking. After going through the restoration process and starting to help out with the ministry in the community, the Holy Spirit really began to work in me. I was actively participating in worship, participating in service for others, and the people beside me were always encouraging me, encouraging by words, but more importantly, by simply loving me. My story wasn't over, and neither was their love and acceptance of me. The Holy Spirit was working because I was craving the relationship that I had damaged with Him. I was loving the learning that I was experiencing in my quiet time and Bible study. Shout out to Judy Gill and previously Jenny Dickens and Debbie McClamrock for listening to the Spirit and being willing to mentor such a hard-headed individual. Internally, I was processing some really hard things. But every Thursday we'd show up to the ministry, and in the midst of ministering to our community, the church was ministering to me. Though I was helping out at the lighthouse, secretly I was showing up for me. I needed the fellowship. The intense love for Jesus could be felt, and I, despite my wildly busy schedule, I wanted to be nowhere else. But it was amazing to see not just that I could still be a vessel after being so broken, but that the church wanted me to be. Jesus wanted me to be. Loved people love people. Because of Jesus' love, I was blessed to be a blessing. Though I've grown up at Fellowship Bible Church, the friendships that have deepened through the Lighthouse ministry literally gave me life and hope again. In loving Jesus and in loving me, the Evanses the Burts, the Dickens, and everyone, that's you, church, who have continually and lovingly shown up, have shown just how much Jesus loves me. I am so grateful for this body of believers. I could tell so many stories of the love of Jesus that I've experienced through so many of you. And I'm blown away. I'll end with words from a rendition of This Is My Story. It's called My Story by Big Daddy Weave. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins. Of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Keep it up, church. Walk alongside people and shepherd them. Tend to their needs. Sacrifice and sow into people's lives. Invest yourselves in others rather than seeking that others keep pouring themselves into you. Keep ministering to people who come to FBC with tears. And keep praying for those with negative moods. You who have been taught should teach others who need the teaching you've received. Faithful men and women should teach other faithful men and women. Keep shining the light into the darkness. Remember, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So keep letting your light shine at home and abroad. Look to reach those outside your community or culture or comfort zone. Keep reaching out to those within your zone. And the one who wrote that last testimony was our own Rachel Doss. Keep praying for and seeking to reach those in the world who have yet to hear about Jesus Christ. And I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about what more we can do to reach the unreached. There are still multitudes yet who haven't heard the name of Jesus, nor do they know that God is faithful to forgive their sins just like He's forgiven your sins. Let's think about what more we can do, as little as we are, for the kingdom of God in reaching the unreached. We may be little in number, but let's not let our faith be little. Let's exercise even the tiniest bit of faith we do have. Keep praying for those who lead us here and ask God to raise up reinforcements. Folks, someday there's going to be a changing of the guard. And what do you mean by the guard? I mean there'll be a change of elders. Those who guard the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, and those who guard the flock to protect it and care for it, and yes, even exercise church discipline to practice restorative love. It's one of the hardest things your elders have to do. All of you are responsible to make sure that the word of truth is rightly handled here at FBC and that open sin is not tolerated. We must all search the scriptures to make sure that what's taught and preached from the pulpit lines up with what the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles taught. We must make sure that what's taught in the learning center from toddlers to adults magnifies God and not man, and is absolutely clear on Jesus Christ, who is absolutely essential for every aspect of our lives. Maybe you wondered how I was going to get around to that. So in closing, and I know this is long, but hey, we're not having a meal today, so we're good. For our 35th anniversary, we may not be having some big celebration, but we can still reflect on God's huge and never-ending faithfulness to us and our need to show our faithfulness to Him by trusting His promises and remaining absolutely loyal to Jesus Christ, whose name we wear as we enter the mission field wherever we go. And we don't need to fear the future, because God will be just as faithful for the next 35 years as He has been for the past 35. So let's stand. Ruby and the team are going to come, and we're going to close by singing, "Whom Shall I Fear? God of Angel Armies." So let's all stand.